This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The speaker is Father Pablo Straub, a Redemptorist priest and the founder of two religious communities, the Consecrates of the Most Holy Savior for men and for women.
Can you think of a clearer way to reveal using the word revelation with a capital R, divine revelation? Can you think of a clearer revelation of the fact that God is judge, that He does judge, and that He will judge? There can be nothing more picturesque, more real. And what a tragedy that people refuse to believe God's revelation of His own judgment. Jesus speaks here in today's Gospel of the universal judgment. It's sometimes called the general judgment, sometimes called the final judgment. I prefer the word universal judgment. Jesus refers in today's readings to it. And it's the judgment that takes place at the end of time, at that moment at which three apotheosic happenings are going to take place, one after another, like this. Three things. Human history in this world ends. Human history in this world comes to an end. And at that moment, Jesus comes. His second and final coming. And at that moment, just like this, human history in this world comes to an end. Jesus comes and He judges. Lambs and goats. It was from St. Matthew chapter 25. In another part of that same chapter, Jesus is saying, through His chosen apostle, evangelist, St. Matthew, we find Jesus revealing the words that He's going to use at the other judgment, which is the particular judgment which takes place at the moment that each human being dies. Because there's not only this universal judgment when the world comes to an end, when Jesus comes and separates sheep from goats. Come, ye blessed of my Father, depart from me, you accursed ones. Also in St. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus speaks of the particular judgment which He gives to every man and woman at the hour of their individual death. And I can hardly get over it. Jesus loves us so much that He has revealed the very words He's going to use when He judges someone who lived and died loving Him, and the very words He'll use addressing the one who lived died despising him. The one who dies loving him, Jesus says, "You good and faithful servant." Enter into the joy of your Lord. And to those who died despising him, to each one, "You wicked and lazy servant, go to the darkness outside, where there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." They've been inventing a God who doesn't exist. A God who doesn't exist. A God who is completely indifferent as to whether a married man is faithful or is an adulterer. Completely indifferent as to whether the lady has her babies or kills her babies. A God who's completely indifferent to whether a couple raises their child in the truth or hands their child over to any excess, because they don't want to be bothered rearing their own children. This God does not exist. A God, in Spanish we would call him Dios Alcahuete. Dios Alcahuete. No existe. No existe. El Dios que sí existe se ha revelado como juez de buenos y juez de malos. Pero el tema propio para esta hora de la Santa Misión es el escapulario de la Virgen. Hubo un hombre inglés de nombre Simón Stock. Se escribe, se letrea su apellido S-T-O-C-K, Stock. Okay. There was a man, we can place him around the year 1215. His name was Saint Simon Stock. He really around the time that Francis was beginning the Franciscans and Dominic was beginning the Dominicans. This Englishman, Simon Stock, went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land and he saw Mount Carmel in the Holy Land. That's what it's called in the Old Testament, Mount Carmel. He saw it from afar. And he said, "As part of my pilgrimage, I'm going to walk to the top of that hill." And when he got to the top, a lady dressed in brown appeared to him. The Blessed Virgin Mary dressed in brown. And part of a brown clothing was a scapular, which you mean a long cloth, would be about as tall as a human being, would be down about to the ankles, just a strip like down here, another strip in the back, to be worn over the ordinary clothing, and there'd be one hole in this long strip, like up here. You could slip it over your head. And 5 foot or so would be on your back, and 5 foot or so would be on your front, covering your ordinary clothing. So she puts this thing on Simon's thigh. Now, that distracts me. I remember when I was a little boy in grammar school, maybe fourth grade, I used to look on fascinated, when my daddy would be shaving. He had the old shave mugs with soaps of old, chunks of discarded used soap in the bottom of a cup and a brush, and his face would all be lathered up. I was so fascinated, and I wanted to grow a beard as quickly as possible so I could shave like my daddy. I kind of think some of these guys here went through that too. All right, something along the same line, really. I've seen pictures of tiny little girls, maybe 4, maybe 5 years old, who go to mommy's closet and pick out mommy's high heel spike heel shoes, and put them on. And the shoe's about 5 times the size of the foot of the little girl. And heels that are high. And she's used to walking on her flat feet, the little girl is. And she'll like quiver around the house. You think she could fall at any instant? Well, you see, those are mommy's shoes. So the little girl wants to put them on. I have a friend in Caguas, Puerto Rico. His name is Manny. He's a sports commentator. And he has a nervous tic. A great guy. And he's talking with you, and he'll kind of go like this. And conversation going on, and it's a nervous tic, you know. Nothing annoying about it. It's something this guy Manny has. And one time, I'm talking with Manny's 6-year-old boy, and the boy's talking to me, and he's saying, Padre, and he continues talking, he says, as I was saying, you know, Daddy has that nervous tic. His little son has that nervous tic. It's obvious that there's something in us that makes us want to be like our mom and dad, even to the wearing of their clothes. And wouldn't the Blessed Virgin just have been recognizing this when she said, Simon Stock, here now, I'm going to put this on you. Then he also said, pardon me, she also said to Simon, Simon, if anybody will wear this scapular, I will assist him at the moment of death with all the graces he needs for his eternal salvation. To wear the scapular, of course, is not permission to commit sin. I can wear a scapular and I can sin all I want because a lady made a promise. Of course not. What's very revealing is the formula approved by the Holy Father, the Pope, for priests who have the faculty to invest a person, that is to say, to dress a person in the Holy Scapular. The formula is this: by the authority granted me by the Apostolic See, I invest you in the scapular of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, so that you, loving her and praying your life long. May be loved and assisted by her all your life long and at the hour of death. And so for centuries now, the Catholic Church has been known for her belief in, well, of course, the intercession of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary and the Holy Scapular.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.